Podcast in which two guys give you their perspective on the week in music. My name is Charlie.
Hello, I'm Mark. Welcome to the podcast. I'm excited to be here.
Woo! We got a great show for you today, folks. We're talking the big one, the one we've been waiting a year and a half for.
Me! Boom! Kick down the door. My podcast now. Pirate Radio.
Mark loves LCD sound system. Is that true?
That's true.
Okay.
I wouldn't tell a lie to you.
So we got a new LCD album. It's called American Dream. We're going to find out if it is truly dream-worthy, if it realizes that dream. Dreamweaver. Any other dream puns you can think of?
There's a lot of problems with crime in America, and you got to get the Dream Police in this American Dream.
Yes, the Dream Police. That's a great song. We'll also be talking about the latest hit on the Billboard Hot 100, which this week belongs to our old friend and yours, Yo Gotti. Rake It Up, which also features Nicki Minaj. So, it's a good return to some classic rap artists. We've been up in these new young guns for a while now, and ready to throw it back old school to someone that's been around the block a while, Yo Gotti. Very excited for that. We're going to talk some Taylor Swift. We got new singles out. Tay-Tay is back in action. There are other people laughing. Mark, what's going on? There are other people here.
We actually have a live audience.
Live audience.
That's because I was touching your.
This
your
is the toes. Most people in the room for a podcast ever.
In any, yeah, for any show.
For any show ever. This is it. Four people.
Yeah. Is that true?
Yeah.
It checks out.
By my numbers. So, Jones and Becky are both here for a thorough discussion of LCD. And also, you know, the last time Jones, well, not the last time, the first time Jones was on. We talked Yo Gotti,
woo,
and the Billboard gods, whoever they are, the denizens of the Billboard, have smiled upon us, and they said, "Let's have some Yo Gotti."
Right?
The American dream of the Billboard came to us and said, "Let's have some Yo Gotti this week." So we'll talk about that later.
I yo gotta have it.
You yo gotta have it. That's it. The laughter is what really sold that one. I wasn't on board until you laughed harder at your own joke than anyone else's, which is always a sign that it's a good one. Jones, you have been off this show for a long time. Becky was on a couple months ago for the best of the year so far. What have you been up to recently?
Well, I live far away.
Okay.
And I've been doing that.
Yeah? How's it going so far?
It's good.
Yeah?
Uh-huh.
I hear far away is really stressful.
Yeah. We have a lot of crime.
Yeah. I think most places do these days.
It's not. It's been difficult.
Yeah. Becky, what's new with you? Anything since the last time you were on?
No.
Okay, good.
I've just been waiting. Just sitting around.
Yeah.
Waiting for that phone call. Ask me to come on again. Just... Mm-hmm. Haven't gotten it.
Well, here you are.
Eventually, I just showed up, and you guys said, "Hey, here's what we're doing."
You may as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, there's a good reason for that.
Been waiting.
Last time I called you, you were very rude to me on the phone. Do you remember?
No, I don't. What
you
did
told
I say?
Me that the old you. You told me that old Becky's dead. You said
no.
You
that's
said
not,
no. She's
no.
not available right now.
That's not quite how it happened. You were being rude. Okay. You had told me that I've changed. Not the person I used to be.
Yeah.
And I was offended and I blacked out for a minute. And I'm not sure exactly what happened there.
That's true.
But I do remember you instigating.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, you know what? Your new song's pretty bad. I gotta be honest with you.
A lot of downloads, so I don't know. Maybe not everybody agrees with you there,
that's
buddy.
That's how you measure success.
Well, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk LCD sounds.
Good wow. transition. That's
really
segue.
Great.
This is 81 episodes, every single time with the segue except this
well,
one.
Well, let's talk about the album.
Well, shut up now.
Mark, here we are. The day you never thought would come has finally arrived.
That's true.
James Murphy, years ago, was like, "Hey, guys, we're out of here. We're packing it up. We got a going away party. We're gonna commit seppuku. And destroy this band out of honor to ourselves, and that's the last you'll ever hear from us. So enjoy it while you can, because then we're outie." And then a year and a half ago, they're like, oh, we're going to do some touring. We'll see what it's like. And then it was also like, oh, by the way, we got a new album coming out, too. So here we are. This is album number 4 for LCD Sound System,
yeah,
right?
Only four.
So they've got consistency.
So they had 3 before, and we're like, that's fine. We've done
Yeah,
it.
They're like, we're
we've
done.
We've hit pinnacle. Let's
essentially in
out.
5 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they're also a band that's really single heavy. So like before they even had an album, they had a collection of singles that were the band.
Okay. Right. So here we are. I think that this conversation will work best if you kind of direct the flow, since you're the expert on these guys. So why don't you start it off for us? You've been okay. Dying to tell us what you think of this thing.
Big mistake. So. Big mistake, because all I want to do is make Max impressions from Life is Strange right now for our show. So you're going to have to direct it. That's a lot of it.
American Dream is so messed up.
Chloe!
It's your American Dream! It's my American Dream, too.
Yeah, I had a pretty good time. Yeah. I had a pretty good time with this.
Pretty good?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. What is the official listen count for this thing now?
Because oh, boy.
It's been out only a week.
Yeah.
But how many times through have you gone?
Are we going to count, like, listening to the singles that came out before or just the album?
Just the full album all the way through.
I'm going to say we're up to 8.
Okay.
Oh my god.
That's not as much as I thought it would be.
Yeah. Well, you know what? At a certain point, you got to step away from yourself and look at what you're doing.
Yeah.
And decide to do other things.
Take it easy.
Yeah.
There's a lot of music out there.
Yeah. There's a lot of things to listen to. There's a lot of things to do. Okay.
How is the hype going into this thing with these singles? These singles were big, right?
Yeah. I feel like I'm being interviewed.
Yeah.
What officially were the singles? I wasn't aware of that.
They're actually all coming in a row. That's Tonight, okay. Call the Police, and American Dream.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think this is like a super interesting album. I am very interested. We talk a lot on the show about, like, you know, where the protest music is, and even more so than that, where's the prescience in music? You know, like, more often than not, what we're actually listening to, even from bands that we enjoy, you know, it tends to be a lot of stuff that is just sort of could have been written at any point. And I think this is like a really interesting document in a way. I like that this is still an LCD Sound System album. It's not like anything that they've made before. It's pretty. It's much slower. It's more interested in being a little, I don't know, depressing, a little sad. But it's this interweaving of sort of political climate, general political climate, and personal experience. And I'm pretty much fascinated with every track on here, pretty much from start to finish. And you've not listened to an LCD Sound System album before. This is a really weird way to start.
It's my first way in. Yeah, and I'll say, like, I know some of the big singles. Like, Daft Punk is playing at my house. Is one that I knew from way back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And they had just one album to their name. That single was on FIFA 06, which I played quite a bit. So I knew that song. You have introduced me to other tracks like North American Scum and Drunk Girls and Pow Pow. And all of your other tunes from your jukebox playing. Your favorite thing to do is to go to a social gathering.
Yep.
And
like a wedding.
Right. Monopolize the jukebox by playing 10-minute dancey, talky songs like LCD Sound System.
Just show up at the family picnic, put on some jams.
It always goes over really well with the audience.
Mm-hmm.
They love it.
But yeah, I mean, I'll say that it was just kind of happenstance. I never got into them. I feel like I liked what I listened to, but never really gave it a shot. So coming into this, I think it's still that sort of like building aesthetic of LCD. Like they're built on like a simple riff, a percussion riff that kind of like builds over the course of the song, and they add more to it along the way.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a really satisfying way to write a song. But I also think that their previous tracks are focused on getting those like danceable beats.
Yeah.
That are like dance tracks too. And I don't know that many of these are in the same kind of category as like dance tunes.
Yeah.
They're more introspective and you said kind of depressing, kind of downers. I had an awesome time with this thing. I had a lot of fun. I've got maybe 5 listens to it, I think.
Catching up.
I had to get to your level. And I think those singles that they put out are awesome on this thing.
Mm-hmm.
That to me is kind of maybe one of the higher points of the record. But like you said, all of these songs have some moment where it kicks in. You're like, that's really cool, man. That's really neat what they're doing right there.
Yeah.
Lyrically, I think instrumentally, there is some interesting stuff. Huge grower of an album. I think the more time you spend with this thing, the more secrets are going to come out.
Yeah. The more secrets.
More secrets.
Yeah.
Thumbs
so,
up.
I saw you guys reading the lyrics over the songs earlier. So how did you guys feel coming into this?
I didn't have maybe as positive an experience with this album, I think. Mm-hmm. It's not my aesthetic to begin with, you know? So it's not something that I'm naturally, I think, disposed to like. I've enjoyed some of their songs, like Drunk Girls is probably like my favorite. I love Drunk Girls. I think that's
really?
A really fun little, yeah, I enjoy that song. Some of these, like, it kind of fell flat of what I would want and what I would expect. So, like, I'm kind of the pop expert, which I think is a ridiculous term because in order to be an expert at, like, pop music, it means you don't think about or care about the music too much. You just listen to it and dance to it.
Not necessarily.
Yeah, I don't agree.
That's what I do. So, I think, like, I wanted it to be poppier than it was. Like, there are certain things that you want and expect out of a song when mm-hmm. you're, like, a radio listener and you want like a jam, and this just did not come in as strong as I want. So you guys talk about it building, and I'm sure it builds in really sophisticated kind of thought out sorts of ways mm-hmm. that didn't work for me. Like I need it to be bigger, you know, where it starts off like very quiet with the vocals and the vocals really, really grow to a big, you know, kind of crescendo. And you didn't have that as much here. Yeah. And you had like little changes, but like I wanted a bridge somewhere. I wanted it to sound really different at points. And most of the songs just kind of sound pretty similar from beginning to end. And like the just talking voice thing got really old. Like even with the songs that I know from before, like Drunk Girls, there are parts where it's more singy and parts where it's more talky, parts where it's softer and parts where it's louder. And that to me is what made it more interesting, more fun to listen to, as opposed to like a lot of this felt like kind of like elevator music to me, like something that's kind of like, oh, that's fun, that like just leave in the background, like I don't want to sit here and listen to the album. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So I didn't dislike it, but it would just, for me, this isn't something I would revisit necessarily.
Right. I think elevator music's an interesting term. Because I cannot picture this being played in an elevator. Do you know how 8-minute long rock epics about the 2016 election are usually on in the elevator when you go in a building?
Yeah.
Nice Muzak. Yeah. Like go up the shop for department store clothes.
Are you maybe picking up on there's a sort of, they use a very specific set of electronic instruments. Like, they use some pretty retrograde stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I was watching, actually, they did you guys know that Vice show where it's, like, party stories?
Yes.
People tell party stories? Nancy Wong, who's the keyboardist, did one. And she was talking about how, like, there's this very specific, like, Korg synthesizer, whatever thing they had to get. And without it, it all sounds like garbage or whatever. So is that maybe, that could maybe be picking, what you're picking up on there?
Perhaps. And I think the lyrics are really interesting. I know when you look at a song, you tend to focus in on more of the musicality and the lyrics are something additional. For me, like most songs, the lyrics are what makes it or breaks it, you know? And the way that he sings and then the lyrics are so difficult to make any sense of. Like even sitting down and intentionally trying to analyze them, a lot of the lyrics seem kind of nonsensical to me that I think you just forget about them. It almost becomes so ridiculous that you don't listen to it unless you're trying to understand it.
You listen to lyrics first. The number of times I've talked about music, you have said literally the opposite.
No, I'm saying the lyrics are what makes it or breaks it. What makes it like a song that you go from being like, ooh, to like, yeah. You know?
Mm-hmm. But what about
the
last
two reactions
time
to songs?
You were on the show. Whenever we were talking about the boys, oh, I hate when I listen to music with you guys because I actually have to read what they say and think about it. I think it's pretty much what you said.
Okay, so I feel differently today.
Okay.
I think, I'm falling apart. No, I think I can believe both things. So they're like the fun songs that, you know, like what was that stupid song, the Rihanna and
Wild Thoughts.
Another one.
Yeah.
That sounded nothing
DJ
like.
Another one.
What's his name? DJ Khaled?
Yeah.
Sergio. Okay, DJ, stop it. DJ Khaled, that DJ Khaled song. It's one of the songs, I never was going to care for that song. It was just something that would come in the background and be like, oh, this is okay. You know? Do-do-do-do-do-do. It sounds nothing like that. But whatever it sounded like. And I'd just be like, oh, okay.
Right.
And now I know the lyrics and I'm like, oh, now I got to hate this song every time it comes on. I got to get angry about it. But with like a good song, what takes it, you know, what makes a song really, really good, something that you listen to, that you pay attention to, is like the lyrics, right? Yeah. That's what makes it important.
It's certainly a part of it, for sure.
I think so. And like these lyrics are just so dense that it's like you just look at them and you go, forget about it.
Well, I don't disagree.
And you just
with that
don't
point.
Even engage with it.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of stuff happening in these songs, and I think that the delivery of sort of burying it inside the sound mm-hmm. makes it tough to pick up on some
yes,
of this stuff.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of details, a lot of ideas that he's putting into some of this stuff. I think there's maybe a conversation to be had about the potential pretentiousness of the lyrics, and that's maybe something that he's gotten some flack for.
Literally, for the entire career.
Yeah, and I don't think that that's a huge detriment to the band. I don't think that's a serious problem, mm-hmm. but I don't think that complaint is unfounded either. I think, some of the stuff on Tonight, just like some of his phrasing on some of those lines.
I think that it's the most, maybe, I love Tonight.
Yeah.
But it is one of those moments where, in the band's history, they have a lot of him having an aside where he's like, you know, like, oh, suddenly I'm going to explain something. And I think that was totally an unnecessary moment in Tonight whenever he talked about his middle-aged ramblings. Mm. But I kind of want to know what, John's, how you felt. Do you have any impressions?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, this was my first LCD
trip.
Yes.
First LSD trip.
I did it when I listened to the album. And I was very scared. No, this is the first album I've ever listened to. I'm kind of like Charlie. Like, I knew the hits.
Mm-hmm.
I knew Daft Punk is playing at my house. And I kind of like, I'm like, oh, this like dancey stuff. Like, it's like right. weird electric robot computers dancey stuff.
Yeah.
you know, fun stuff. And it's, I agree that it's like, you can dance to some of these. They still got the same kind of vibe, but it's not as strong.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with the comment that they a lot of the songs progress or change in very subtle ways, and they don't change a lot. Mm-hmm. Some of them do. They like build. I like Tonight a lot. Tonight's a good one. And I even like the lyrics of Tonight more so than some of the others. They are dense, but I kind of like those ideas that are like, we're all just waiting for tonight. There's only tonight, tonight, tonight. But some of the others are like, they are kind of hard to make out. Or mm-hmm. at least I only read through them a couple times. I haven't let it soak in a lot, you know?
Yeah.
Didn't write my thesis on them yet. But,
interesting. See,
but they're hard to
The approach that I take out. Is I don't read any lyrics. I just listen to it. Like over and over.
Yeah.
Different approach.
Different approach.
Mm-hmm.
Can we talk for a minute about Tonight?
I
feel like that song it's come up like three different times people have mentioned it. I think that song's worthy of kind of like digging into a little bit.
Let's play a clip.
I never realized these artists thought so much about dying. The worst clip ever.
That's the whole song. That's the whole song right there.
So what I really enjoy about the song is that, like, right from the beginning, I had this thought the first time I heard it, and he came in with that, like, tonight, tonight, tonight. That's terrible, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, man, this sounds like a Daft Punk song.
Yeah.
And then, as we're going through, like, the lyrics, I thought, really kind of, like, made that so much funnier, because this is the most poppy-sounding song, I think, on the album. This is the one that I think is the easiest to sell to kind of like a generalized audience because it's
most
got
danceable.
Those yeah it's got mm-hmm. those aspects that remind us of other songs that we can kind of dance to and have fun with, and I enjoy that. And then it's making fun of us, and it's making fun of mm-hmm. everybody singing the same song, and it goes, and then he tonight 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 is that mm-hmm. little lyric, and that is what the other songs sound like, and we like it and we mm-hmm. enjoy it. And then so it you have that moment, or I have that moment, when you go through where you're like, oh, man, I like this song. And then you're like, oh, I'm a part of what he's talking about, which I think is a really interesting experience, the way that he kind of pulls you in and then makes you listen to that commentary. And, like, you know now that you're a part of it because you fell for that that little intro bit.
I disagree with that assessment a little bit. Okay. I don't think that is actually I feel like Tonight is actually a deeply positive song. I feel like more than anything, because keep in mind, this is a band whose entire career is making people dance.
Uh-huh.
Like, the whole genesis of LCD Sound System was, these were all people who were in a kind of anonymous punk bands in the middle of New York, and they were tired of going to shows and playing shows where it was just a lot of, like, you know, kids just kind of, like, doing a little, like, head bob and just standing around. They wanted to get people up. They wanted to get people moving. And I don't think that Tonight is so much a criticism of pop music as a fun and danceable thing, so much as a song about how FOMO is crap. The fear of missing out is crap. This idea being that every song, like, I like how he changes around the idea that artists are talking about, like, all we have is tonight. And he's like, I have no idea these artists thought so much about dying. He makes it almost suicidal. Like, why are you so fatalistic about your romantic tryst? It could be a lot of fun. And I think the entire end of the song lyrically is essentially him saying, like, life doesn't have to look a certain way. Youth doesn't have to look a certain way. You shouldn't always be afraid of losing your... That was so satisfying because I'm saying this and everyone just started looking at their textbooks. Like, I've never felt more like an educator. But, I feel like...
Watch your lyrics, kids.
Yeah, I feel like the whole end of the song is just him saying, like, hey, like, life lasts a long time. Like, you don't have to always be afraid, like, you're missing out. Like, there's some party that you're supposed to go to that you're never invited to, you know?
Right.
Like, chase your truth,
so what
fans of me.
Do you have specific lines in that final bit of the song that you think are particularly good? Because there are a lot there.
I'm sort of talking around a lot of them because I don't remember them specifically, so I'm just going to Google it. I mean, this whole entire last paragraph here. So you will be badgered and taunted and told that you're missing a party that you'll never get over. You hate the idea that you're wasting your youth, but you stood in the background until you got older. But that's all lies. That's all lies. Also, some of these lyrics are wrong. But yeah, no, I do think this is the one danceable track on the album, too.
Yeah, most danceable track. Yeah. I think some others you can kind of vibe to, but as far as like traditional LCD,
actual dancing,
bopping around to, this is the one that's going to do it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That kind of goes with the theme of the song, too, right? That's sort of reinforced by that message of searching for the experience that you're looking for, right?
Right. Cool. And on top of that, I think most of this album is this sort of intermixing, like I said, of how I'm feeling personally, like me, James Murphy, how I'm feeling at this point in time, in history, and what culture looks like and what discourse looks like. And I think this song is the music side of it, you know? But I think what's maybe more interesting for me, I think the crux of the entire album is the twofer of Call of Police and American Dream.
That's the climax of this album, right?
I think it's the point on which the album turns, for sure.
Yeah. I feel like the first half of the album is in a similar sort of space.
Mm-hmm.
And then once Tonight kicks in, the mood shifts dramatically, especially coming in from How Do You Sleep?
Yeah.
And then we get into Call the Police and American Dream. I think that's a great 1-2-3 run of songs there in the middle. I like Tonight a lot, but I think I like these other two a little bit better than Tonight. I gotta say, like, Call the Police is a jam,
it's crazy,
man. Yeah. It builds in a crazy way. I think it sounds the most like a traditional kind of rock song, the kind of thing that you can get away with playing to someone that doesn't know LCD that well. And they would be like, yeah, I can jam to that. That's got a good kind of traditional vibe to it. And one thing I've noticed is how much they sort of sound like U2 on this record. Right? Have you noticed that?
Not so much. Okay. I can get what you're saying, though. I can pick up what you're putting
out. Let me play a little clip from Call of Police. Okay. I just feel like this is some U2 here, okay? It moves like a virus, then enters our skin. That's a little U2, right?
That's U2.
I can hear that, too.
And like, Bono's got his like red glasses on, and like the wind blowing his hair back. He's in the stadium. Raise your hands, children. Yeah, we're running through the streets of Ireland. Oh. My Bono always devolves into some kind of like vocalizing there, but you get it, right?
I think I get it.
That song's a jam.
Yeah.
I think that thing builds excellently.
Mm-hmm.
A great example of going all the way through till the Call of Police kind of refrain at the end of the song. It's really good.
Yeah.
You mentioned that on this record, those songs changed. Like, you knew them in the singles.
Yeah.
Right? But then, like, on the context of the album, it's a little bit different. Mm-hmm. Can you maybe talk about that some more?
Sure. So, well, actually, maybe let's ask our fun guests
how
you feel about Call of Police. Like, he said, you're kind of making the point this is a more easy song to jump into.
Yeah.
I feel like you guys were saying
that.
I heard it the first time, and I went, Maybe because it was a little too U2-y for me. And then the second time I heard it, because I was just kind of listening through things. I didn't remember the titles of the songs and what they had sounded like. You know, I was just kind of freshening up, trying to remember it before we did this. And this song came on, and out loud, I didn't realize I didn't like this song until out loud the song came on. I went, oh. I think that's the song. It came in with a little, and I'm, oh, no. So apparently I do not like it. I do not find it interesting to listen to. And I think, like, if I could engage with the lyrics more, I think maybe. But the lyrics do not stand out in a song like this. well, this song more than the others, but it, in general, in this album, the lyrics are, I don't know, I'm so used to, like, those, like, power vocals. Do you know what I mean? The fact that it's so talky, it's so easy to skip over them when you listen to it, as opposed to trying to read it. Go ahead. Add something
in
jokes.
No, they're pretty embedded in there. So it is easy to kind of listen to the song and let it just, like, wash over you and not pay attention to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
which, I mean, that can be good if you're trying to dance, but I feel like he's trying to, I don't know, like, he has things to say, which is great, and he also wants people to dance, which is great. And he's doing it at the same time, which, you know, okay, cool, mm-hmm. fine, I dig it. But
it takes a little bit away from both, like, of the elements.
Kind of. It's, I don't know, it's just, like, dance and be sad about it. Like, mm-hmm.
If there were, like, I think what I wanted so much was him to, like, do power vocals. Like, I wanted there to be more with the vocals. And this song's maybe doing it a little bit more than some of the others, but it's so hard to try to listen to this song for what it is and think about it critically when you've got the music playing and the vocals don't seem quite as strong, or they don't stand out in any significant sort of way for me.
I think that's crazy. I think the vocals are amazing on this track. And I also think lyrically,
I don't think the vocals are amazing at all. I'm not a fan of this album. So,
okay.
I think James Murphy's also not a traditional vocalist. You know?
No, like, he's not at all. And that's a part of the problem.
Yeah.
Not that it's a problem, but for me it is.
Just watch those power vocals.
Yeah.
Just get me Rihanna up.
What do you think about someone like Bruce Springsteen? Because I think this song actually has a lot in common with a lot of Bruce Springsteen songs. Yeah. They have a larger political point. There's a lot of complex ideas. There's a lot of complicated sentences when it doesn't rest on a simple vocal hook that's very...
I feel exactly the same way. I'm not a big Bruce Springsteen fan. Mm-hmm. And I've never really given it that much thought, I guess, but it's probably, I would assume, related. Because mm-hmm. I'm feeling very strongly about that, like, it's, I just wish, like, if somebody else was singing it, or, you know, Despacito, just give me, like, a, you know, something that's, like, standing out to me. And, like, a lot of the lyrics, and I'm getting a little bit away from this song at this point, but a lot of the lyrics just move so slowly. Mm. Oh my God, it takes forever to get through three lines.
I really don't think this is a fair criticism.
Why
because
not?
How?
The lyrics went too slow? Like, what are we talking about?
It felt too slow.
But, like, this is the thing. This is not a spoken word. Like, this is a song. Like, do you understand what I mean?
Well,
like,
then why doesn't he sing it?
He is singing it. That's what singing is. Rhythmically with your voice.
I disapprove.
You disprove.
I disapprove.
I think the slower lyrics, if that is the thing, is in service of, the, like, the longer songs, right? Like, because he's composing something that takes a while to get moving.
Why is that? Are you trying to make that sound positive?
Yeah, I think that, you know, if you're going to write a piece that's thoroughly composed, you've got to consider how each individual movement of the song propels the energy and the motion forward. And I think this song builds the whole way up to its conclusion, and it ends really satisfyingly.
I do like this song. I agree that it builds nicely. I listened to, like, the beginning part, and I'm just kind of like, okay, whatever. But it gets more interesting towards the end. So I do like this one.
Yeah.
For that reason.
Why don't you throw in, like, the climax?
The climax song.
Just so pent up right now. Why don't you throw in the climax song?
Is climate change depressing you? You can invest in new climax, the medication for those who are upset about the world ending.
That's depressingly low amount of people feel that way.
Yeah.
Depressingly low amount of panic about it.
Let's here's a little bit later and call the police.
Like, isn't there something to be had in getting lost in something and having the music sort of also be a kind of narrative where you're just slowly building into something where you're starting in one place and ending in a completely different place, you know? It's all building and releasing tension is what music is. So why can't a song be written that isn't just an immediate version of that? Why does it have to be, like, quick peaks and valleys? Why can't it be a slow?
If you want to appeal to a larger audience,
He doesn't. He stopped the band because he felt they were too popular.
Okay, well, then fair enough. So I'm not his target audience, and he has done a good job at not reaching me.
Okay.
That's Is that fair enough?
Yeah, fair
I'm
enough.
Not his audience. He doesn't want me as his audience, and I'm going to continue to not be his audience.
Okay.
This is making it, when I talk to you guys, I feel much more strongly about these things than when I'm just sitting alone. I'm like, I don't really like this album. I start talking to you guys, and I'm like, I don't like it, and I'm never going
to
be
You're ready to
fan.
Protest outside his house.
You guys make me like so feel so much more intensely about things. Like, I don't hate this.
Yeah.
It's just like, I'm not going to come back to this. I'm not going to be like, oh, I can't wait to put on some American Dream.
I felt this way podcasting, though. It's like when you write about something, you don't realize how strong you feel about it until you're like halfway through a paragraph talking about why that movie was garbage or like why this book was like a complete crappy experience. Yeah. You know, that's just the conversation.
Yeah, it's the nature of it.
You want to talk a little bit about the title track, American Dream, which is the next one on the list?
Oh, boy. Well, let's really dig into it, Charlie, because this is what I think about Call the Police and American Dream, is that we got two sides of the same coin.
Yeah.
Two sides of the same coin. That's what you were doing before. Okay. I like the interpretation. This is my interpretation.
Okay.
That Call the Police is like, that this is specifically about the election, right? And there's a lot of really kind of interesting moments in time right now that he's referencing. We all start questioning the history of the Jews.
Yeah.
He brings up, triggered kids, people with questionable views. And at the very end of the song, make sure I get this right, he actually references eating the rich. We're going to eat up the rich. It's a very Bernie Sanders message that he has going on in the song, right? But I think part of the reason why that slow build is necessary narratively is because it's like a state of drunkenness. It's like you're getting lost. It's just angry and you're building. And then right away, once the election is over and we're getting past it, we go into American Dream, you're hungover. He has a really wonderful lyric in there about looking in the mirror and watching the beard crawl around on your face. And it's depressing. And all of a sudden he's saying, like, you wake up and you realize you're old and you realize you thought the revolution was here that would set you free from the bourgeoisie. And it didn't happen. I really like that juxtaposition. I think that's a really great way to describe the political climate of America is we were drunk and now we're super hungover.
Yeah.
That's a fun idea. That's a creative idea.
Yeah. I think this one's full of great lyrics too. The second verse, grab your clothes, head out the doorway. If you dance out, no one complains. Find the place where you can be boring, where you won't need to explain that you're sick in the head and you wish you were dead, or at least instead of sleeping here, you prefer your own bed. You just suck at self-preservation versus someone else's pain, so you feel drained and insane and insane. That's some poetry, man.
Yeah.
That's really good.
That's what I'm saying.
This was one of the few songs where I felt like I could connect with the lyrics in some way, that it was the meaning. Well, I think what's important is what he's doing with this song is that the meaning has multiple layers.
Right.
So you can engage with it in a pretty shallow sort of way and still feel connected to it and understand it.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can get deeper. And that's why I think I liked this one better is because I think I need that shallow connection with the lyrics, at least at first, before I can dig into it. When it's just too complex and it seems so random and it's hard to make any sense of it, you just don't really want to go much further. But this one is something that, like, personally, you think about it and you're like, oh, I understand. You know, I feel like I can connect with that.
Right.
You weren't mentioning, but like right at the beginning, this comes right after the bourgeoisie part. It says, in the morning, everything's clear when the sunlight exposes your age.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, yeah, we've all had that feeling where, you know, you had a great night and you wake up the next morning, you look in the mirror and you're like, oh, my God, what happened? And so it's like there are just like little lines in here that you're able to kind of go like, oh, yeah, you know, and connect with in some way before you get to the deeper meanings.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that lyrically, this is one of the songs that I think is much more accessible and that I could connect to better.
Wow.
Yeah. I think the American Dream and the irony of that dream has been used a ton.
A million times.
Yeah. So
it made me nervous whenever this was the title of the album.
But I think that they do a great job of presenting the way that that idea is flawed in a modern setting, you know, like as of right now. You know, it's a very current realization of like, oh my God, you know? But also I think there's something to be said like, what happened here was crazy.
Yeah.
You know? And in some ways is that kind of the emblem of the American Dream there. That like something like that could happen. Because in what other country could something like that happen? You know, like as horrible as it is, you know, like we still made that happen to ourselves because of some things in place in our government system.
Right.
I don't know. But
I was gonna say, besides that, I mean, think about how this album is couched in the idea of a dream. Like, there's like multiple uses of the word dream there, right? Because we start with Oh Baby, it's about waking up from a nightmare,
right?
And it's like, on one hand, it's a love song, and on the other hand,
no, that's the end of the Oh Baby,
yeah, No, I got it. Yeah, I got like it. Part. Okay. Which part is the brand? Should we play a clip of the shush? Or?
We will later.
Okay. At the same time, though, I think, what was I saying? I totally lost my point.
Dreams. Oh, baby, waking up. Dreams. There are other dreams in the album.
Oh, yeah. Look what happened while you're dreaming, while you were dreaming. And then punch yourself in the face, right?
Yeah.
Because dreaming, in the context of an American dream, can be just sort of fantasizing or not caring. Mm-hmm. Or just being lost in the clouds of whatever bubble you live in. Especially if you're...
The clouds? Like on the album cover, maybe?
Yeah. Exactly. I think that was exactly the point. That's why they're clouds. What do you think this album cover's about? I've been thinking about it a lot. I do not have a sufficient explanation as to why it looks pretty. Like that.
Does maybe it? They didn't have, like, a good budget. And just they're like, well...
Is that a really bad budget?
Like a PowerPoint background. I'll just throw this up there.
Get a sun behind
stock
it.
Stock photo.
That'll be fine.
In an interview, they asked him, they're like, hey, is this actually going to be the album cover? He's like, yes. No explanation. Why is this like garbage?
Well, let's play a little bit from American Dream.
Oh, please.
Beat that boom 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 is super good, man. Yeah. It's really satisfying, and that's been stuck in my head since I started listening to this album.
Yeah, it's been stuck in my head for the last. Yeah, I have no idea how many times I listened to this song because yeah. This song came out way ahead of the album's release.
Right.
I listened to the song a whole lot. It's been on constant repeat. Yeah,
this is one of the songs that when Jones and I were listening through some of it together, I read her a few of the lyrics and I was like, oh my God, listen to this. And then we were both just kind of like talking about, God, this is so depressing. Why are we listening to this right now? This is bringing us down. And so I think it's really interesting that as a whole, the lyrics in this album and even a lot of like the actual like music just feels sad to me. It makes me feel sad and like it feels like a Sunday morning kind of sad. I don't know.
It's real schmaltzy.
That's a really great way to put it. Sunday morning kind of sad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you talk about it like it's, you know, it's, you don't think it's depressing at all, or, you know, there are aspects of it maybe that are, but overall you don't see it that way.
Uh-huh.
To me, this song is like, oh man, I think the lyrics are good. I think you connect to it, but it's real sad. This song makes me incredibly sad.
I think it's meant to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just that opening is like really schmaltzy and like over the top. Like,
Okay, wait, I need to say this.
Okay.
Does anybody else hear, like, Twin Peaks in there?
Yeah, a little bit.
It comes up even more with, what's that last song, Black Screen? Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
There is something about this that gets so Twin Peaky to me. I just keep hearing, like, this one and Black Screen. Did you hear that too?
Mm-mm.
Okay, when we, because we're going to have to talk about Black Screen, I will make it happen. Yeah. It's there's something that just reminds me so much of, like, you know, the one Twin Peaks song that just plays over and over and over again.
The theme song?
Yeah, and that's kind of what I...
Mm-hmm. That's really funny. Yeah. I have an endless amount of useless knowledge about this band. Mm-hmm. And actually, so, okay, they once did a cover of Henry Nielsen's really great song, whatever it was called.
Did you find the answer?
I did. Okay, Jumping Through the Fire by Henry Nielsen. They performed that song live. It was a very excellent cover of the song. And actually, in the break to that song, like between songs when they're setting up for the next song, they played the Twin Peaks theme live. So there's a tie there. On top of that, there's another tie back to this album because they actually take some riffs from songs they performed in the past and incorporate them in a lot of these songs, especially in other voices. But it also happens in Emotional Haircut. There's a, because he's talking about how he's having a kind of a midlife crisis, right? And you have a sense of kind of like panic and aged panic in particular. And there's a part where he sings out of tune. And he's like, and that's basically the main vocal melody from that Henry Nielsen song that he is using to, instead of show how young and full of energy he is, how old and out of touch he is, which I think is a really clever idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I bet nobody else has ever listened to that song so in depth that they have noticed that. So
I've been looking. I feel alone in
this. You made some brand new connections for the entire universe. Congratulations.
Yeah. If you look to your right, you can see here my conspiracy board. Pins up and pictures and quotes and things.
Oh, ridiculous.
You want to talk about black screen?
I super want to talk about black screen.
This is a heck of a closer right here, man.
Yeah.
If by a heck of a closer you mean a terrible song, I completely agree.
Well, I don't know about that.
It's very charged.
a lot of charged language coming from this lady.
It's the longest track on the album. Mm-hmm. Lots of ambient noise in some portions mm-hmm. of this.
Potentially the longest 10 minutes of my life.
Well, it's sort of a monotone delivery. It's got sort of like mm-hmm. a filter on top of it to sound kind of robotic.
Right.
It's really interesting. I'm wondering like how close this is to like a thesis statement for this band. You know, like is there a message inside of this thing that gets closer to what they're all about?
Well, there are a lot of songs on here that are deeply personal, and the two longest songs on the album are actually they're the most personal. So there was one that's like 10 minutes long. It's before this. How Do You Sleep?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
which is about I think their old producer. They had like a big falling out. So literally the whole song is just him saying you need to the worst.
That's a charged title, man. How Do You Sleep? Like, whoa.
Yeah. This song is about David Bowie.
No kidding.
And his passing away.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Because they actually did. They did have a friendship. They didn't know each other. Hmm. And obviously that's specific and maybe difficult to tie to any overall political ideology. But I do think eulogies were a big thing last year. Right? And a lot of famous people passing away. Him in particular.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think ending American Dream with this sort of constant talk of like this never-ending strife and things are confusing and we are all drunk, now we're all hungover, and a lot of good people were lost. And I think that's a good button. That's a good button to the experience is things end. Part of the dream is that it ends.
And the idea of the black screen is interesting too, the repetition of that. You know, like the... we live in a world that is filled with screens that are always lit up and bright and showing us emojis and the Twitters.
Right.
And what does it look like when all of that is gone? When it's the possibilities inside of that are removed, but also the distraction and the, the noise.
And also, there's a sort of bookending nature to this. I think the way the song closes, it's a very long, extended sort of just soundscape. Yeah. Almost a Brian Eno soundscape, and he borrows from Brian Eno a lot. And that's kind of how it opens, too, is in a sort of dream state. You're sort of waking up from a dream, or you're sort of in the process of waking up and falling back asleep. And so I think it's part of the narrative framework that's sort of couched in, hey, you're asleep.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you found it to be pretty long.
Yeah,
I can see that.
I think the lyrics were very emotional, mm-hmm. very charged, very just sad and depressing. Like it was making me think too much about sad things.
It's kind of true.
So,
is that your review?
Yeah, it made me think way too much about sad things.
But the vocal melody doesn't really change outside of that monotone.
It's, and you want charged. That. Like if it's going to be emotional, you want the emotion there. And it's the way that he presents it is very much so in his style and is very much so not my style. And then it's like, you know, on the black screen keeps going over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. And it gets to the point in the song where you're like, okay, when's it going to end? You know? And you look at the time, you look at it and you're like, oh it's been 7 minutes already and we've still got 3.5 to go. And it's just like, that ending is so like exhausting. You're almost like, well, do I have to listen to this whole thing to make sure that like something interesting doesn't happen and then nothing interesting happens and that makes me mad?
That's when the full brass band comes in, they do the encore.
Yeah.
And so it was frustrating for me. I think if it would have been cut off way sooner, it wouldn't have made me nearly as angry. But it was just like, at least do some interesting instrumentals if you're going to have, the last 5 minutes of it maybe?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's just instrumentals it's like, oh, okay, come on.
Yeah.
And to end the album on that note just feels so unsatisfying to me. Mm.
Okay.
Like it ends and you're like, wait, nothing feels concluded here. Nothing feels happy.
I think the ambiguity of it is satisfying, though.
Yeah, I kind of agree. Like, I'm not crazy about the song, but I understand why he would put it at the end. Like, why this would be the closer. Yeah. Just kind of like fades.
It's the fade.
Thematically, it makes sense. I agree. But you know that feeling you want to have when something's over? Like when a movie ends, when a book ends, you want that like that feeling of closure? I did not get that here.
Well, I think there's a sort of defeating element to death,
neither
though.
Did America.
Oh.
Woo! And I also think that primarily what I'm getting out of it seems like you were looking for this album to be something it's not. It seems like every track you're like, well, when is it going to become a song that's not this? And I don't know. I feel like you're maybe doomed to fail in your life.
I'm not doomed to fail. They're doomed to fail. No, I agree that it's the expectation for this. But I mean, I've heard other LCD Sound System songs and enjoyed them and appreciated them and had fun rocking out to them. And I wanted that and I did not get that. And a lot of this just felt sad and depressing to me. And knowing that this is kind of like the reunion we never knew was going to happen, right? That like people have been waiting for it and we're like, oh, you want it to be like a celebration almost or like...
I don't think I want that. You know why?
Because I did.
I feel like there's no albums that are actually getting in, like digging into the real stuff right now. Like no one's talking about president enough. No one's talking about the election enough in music. Music is a weirdly deaf space to that right now. And I enjoy that there is an album that was willing to talk about it in a complex way. As much as I appreciate FDT, I also like a layer of analysis to music that I don't think is happening a whole lot.
So here's what's really interesting about that then, is that we've already talked about the audience and how the lead singer, is that, I don't know his name, that
James
Murphy. He kind of split the band apart because they got too popular. It was getting too far away from what they originally were.
Yeah.
So he's coming back in and they're creating this political message throughout this album that's, I would assume then that the purpose that you think is important in delivering this political message is so that as a community, as a country, we can start diving into those important topics. Would you agree? Like, what's the value of having those conversations in music so that people start discussing it? So that as a country, we start looking critically at what's happening?
Well, I think that yeah, sure.
Okay,
sure.
So then the problem that lies with that, I think, kind of assessment of this song and of this, you know, album as a whole, is that he's only appealing to his audience type. He's not trying to appeal to the general, you know, public in regards to what's going on in the country. And the lyrics can be so dense with those politically themed songs that even the people who do listen to it, I don't think would fully understand it. So I don't think he's delivering the political message in the way that you would want to open up a discourse.
I don't think that you could assume that people won't understand it.
Yeah, I think maybe that was a little bit presumptive of me, but I think that the lyrics are so intense. I mean, you have to sit down and you have to think about it and you have to listen to it over and over and over again.
Exactly.
And in general, how many people are going to be doing that? I don't know. Not as many as I think you would want to start that kind of political conversation.
You're also an LCD Sound System fan. So like when you're talking about that fan base, I'm the most of that. Pretty much. So like,
you mean you're most of their fan base? Like you're the one?
Yeah, like there's
you're
six
their
of us.
Fan.
And I'm the fan club leader and I tell people where to go and when to meet. I don't know. I think a lot of the conversation around this album has been pretty interesting. And I also don't think that like, whenever I say, remember what you said that I feel, whenever you say that I feel like I want this to better the country by extending the discourse or maybe opening up conversation in a space where there's none, that doesn't necessarily mean that I think that he should be like a political, like he shouldn't run for office. He shouldn't.
Not all the weight of that is falling on him.
Right. But I think conversation in general is important. And I think this album generates some interesting conversation starters.
You've listened to this album a lot more than I have. And I didn't listen to it necessarily like in order of the songs and how they progress. But I find it interesting now in the conversation that we've just had, how it kind of moves from songs that feel a lot more personal. Like Black Screen to me feels mostly personal, right? Are there any political undertones there?
Other than I think the bookends of the music, I wouldn't make the argument now that it's...
And then it seems like the songs that are political, I think the good ones like American Dream have double meanings, double layers where you can look at it individually, you can look at it personally, and then you can also look at it politically. But as a whole for the album, do you feel like it's thematically cohesive?
Totally. Yeah. I just think there's a lot of things happening.
Yeah. Because some of those like personal songs don't necessarily seem to fit in. Like I don't see Black Screen and like American Dream. They sound the same, but like the content of what they're talking about maybe feels a little disjointed.
Disjointed how?
Well, with American Dream, the commentary that it's making on life in general, with Tonight, kind of the overall analysis it's making in general, versus with Black Screen, how personal it is and how emotionally driven it is, it feels very different to me.
Okay. But I think that there's a mixture of the personal and the political that everybody feels. And that's one of the things I actually like about American Dream, is that when you listen to an artist like Bruce Springsteen, of course, like, Bruce Springsteen's written like a bunch of songs that are about him and about, mm-hmm. you know, people he loves,
yeah.
you know, and is lost or whatever. But I don't think there's a great many statements in, especially in music, that are sort of like autobiographies and like novel writing and stuff like that. That is, here is equally my personal experience and how that interweaves with a larger cultural thing, such as politics. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I think these things just sort of swim in and out of each other, just like they do in our lives. Right. That's why I think American Dream is so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The song.
Yeah.
And,
word.
And the concept.
With Black Screen, it's cool also to get that connection to the Black Star, which was David Bowie's swan song.
Yeah.
You know, and have that at the very end here.
Mm-hmm.
I like that connection.
Yeah.
We talked a lot about this thing, but I feel like there's still a whole lot more to be said about some of this stuff. But
well, I don't know. I feel like we're an hour deep in this review right now. We should probably cut it off.
We should cut it off. I just want to say very quickly, I have some more things. I was being talked over. No, I like other voices mainly because he says, "You're just a baby now."
Yeah.
A lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's fun. I think that's like a fun thing to say. That's like a goofy thing. And I think he knows that. Like, that's intentionally, like,
yeah.
in the delivery, like, "You're just a baby now." It's like a goofy delivery. It's fun.
Very Talking Heads-y.
Yeah, definitely. Huge Talking Heads influence on this band.
So that's cool. I like that. All of the font is in lowercase.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like that. Like, I made this point to Becky, like, I don't know why people do that. I don't know why. If it's like, oh, nothing ends or nothing begins, it's like, oh, it's just all here, some bullshit like that.
Yeah, capitalize your letters.
Come on. And, like, change...
He uses the punctuation, but he won't capitalize?
Change your mind. Like, YR. Like, text does, talk.
Why the YR?
Why the YR,
why
Mark?
It,
why not you are?
Change
actually,
your mind.
Well, I mean...
Dance yourself clean. Why does he not add the OU and the your?
That's actually, like, a punk thing.
Okay.
A lot of punk albums skip the OU. I don't know why, but I do know Sonic Youth did it, and I know a lot of bands that had an influence on these people as musicians did, so I think it's just carrying that. I don't think there is a big idea or purpose behind it.
Okay.
I also don't think there's that big or an idea or purpose behind the capital letter thing.
And then Tonight, how he spells Tonight.
I think that actually is out of purpose, because that's like a pop music thing,
yeah.
right? And it's a song about
yeah.
pop music, so
tonight.
Spell it
I don't
like
know.
They do.
That was just a small thing that I... didn't love
mm-hmm.
in like a format.
Oh no,
sense.
She hated it. She was pretty angry. It's the first thing she
I feel
had
like
to say to
back
me.
Back a little bit.
She was like, they didn't capitalize. What are they doing here?"
What is
she was
doing?
Very. She went off for probably about 20 minutes.
I would rather,
in the car right up here talking
I
about
would rather have the
non-capitalization.
Band not capitalize their songs and capitalize every letter in their songs.
Loud. Or capitalize only random letters sometimes. Miss hard.
That's like that SpongeBob
like Zane.
Meme
yeah.
where he's like, like, you know the one I'm talking about.
No.
Just making...
Not sure.
Continue with the do-do-do, though.
Sure.
It helps. It helps me understand.
No, there's a picture, and he's like... and like... No, it's like you're mimicking someone else, and someone says, like, clean your room, and you're like, oh, clean your room. Like, like you do your stuff.
Is that how you talk to your mother?
Am I the
oh,
only one?
Clean your room.
Oh, clean your room.
Am I the only one who's up on, like, memes?
Yeah, evidently
those
so.
Apparently.
Dank memes.
Some Spanish memes.
Oh, good golly.
Well, anyway.
I think that Oh Baby is a killer opener. I think that song is
yeah?
super good.
Yeah.
The way that thing builds is so satisfying.
Mm-hmm.
Get that sense. Doom, doom, doo doo. Underneath it all, while he's doing the vocals on top of it, man, ugh, it gets booming.
And not at all,
ready to go.
Not at all one would expect coming
right.
in this album.
Yeah,
you know, like there's a lot. Like most of the reviews for this, if you read them, like they all pretty much say like, "Wow, I really didn't know what was happening for a few listens there. That seemed like totally not what I was thinking this was going to be." Interesting side note is that song steals a riff from the band Suicide. There's a Suicide song that they take that riff from.
Cool.
Which is one of the very first like synthesizer-driven like weird art bands.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it would make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I think there is a point to using a Suicide riff to start your
American
album about
Dream.
The American Dream. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This is a brainy album, man.
Yeah.
I think it's worthy of more listens and discussion and further thoughts. And I know I'm going to listen to it a bit more as we go forward. I think there's still a lot to be gained from this thing. It's a big thumbs up for me on this record.
Yeah. Not as huge a fan. I think I could really go without it.
We're all middle of the road on this one.
It's okay. Not my favorite.
Yeah.
I feel like I have to defend this album just a small bit from myself, because I'm the only one here saying negative things. But I would definitely, you do that thing where you like pull songs.
Mm-hmm. Like, the highlight reel.
I would like pull a few songs from here. Like, should I not do that yet? Do you want to do the official thing?
Go for it.
So like, Tonight is awesome.
Yeah.
I would totally pull Tonight. I think, that's it. I'd pull Tonight. Never mind. They have a good song.
Yeah.
There's one here that I enjoyed.
It's definitely a good song.
I like that. I'd listen to that one again. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Well, you know what? Won you over a little bit.
Jones, do you have highlights that you want to take?
Yeah, sure. I would take Tonight also, because it's a jam.
And even with that spelling? You're going to get past that massive hurdle of yours?
It really won me over. Oh, man.
I'm not joking when I say she talked for about 20 minutes in the car ride about the non-capitalization and the wrong spelling. And she was going off about how, like,
that conceptual bullshit, like, oh...
Yeah, she was, upset. Like, she got loud.
Did she cry?
There was some volume there. I did.
I cried
because of her intensity. It was, wow. It was overflowing.
By the way, we need to talk about your anger problem.
And so, yeah, Tonight. And then maybe Other Voices. My favorite part's just the baby part.
You're still a baby now.
Like, the rest of the... Like, I didn't know what that song was called at first. Like, mm-hmm. The baby song, right?
Right.
Which is confusing because there is a song called Oh Baby.
Right.
Right.
So I might pull that one. Other than that, probably not.
Well,
okay. Others. Two? You want to give yours? No, I should go
Did you
last.
Just refer to me as two?
Two. Two tracks.
Oh, okay. You're looking at two.
You know
two.
Who you are.
I'm going to take four off this bad boy. And I went back and forth on a number for that fourth slot, you know. I think there's three clear winners here, which are the three singles.
Of course. You got
Tonight,
it so right.
Call the Police, American Dream.
What's the debate on
All
the final?
All the three got to be in there. Okay, here are the ones that are in my brain for contention. Black Screen is in there. How Do You Sleep is in there.
Black Screen's an interesting choice.
Yeah, I really like the ambience that it goes into. I like the slow degeneration and the ideas of a black screen, I think, are really cool.
Mm-hmm.
I said I loved Oh Baby. That's still true. So of those three, I think I'm going with Oh Baby. I think
what
I'm thinking Oh Baby
is
my fourth pick. Yeah.
Oh, my boy coming through with the interesting picks. I don't even know what to do. I don't even know. My picks are going to be boring now.
It's an easy four for me.
Oh, my goodness. Me too. Of course, me too. Tonight, Call the Police, American Dream. Now, here's what...
Those are already on the list.
Here's what I'm going back and forth on. Okay. So we got Emotional Haircut. Like, really, really
emotional
good.
Emotional Haircut.
Talking Heads callback. That's basically a Talking Heads song they wrote. That's great. I love that. How Do You Sleep? Wow. What really built it. Really, what a climax you built. James, I love it. Also, Other Voices... The first time he throws it to Nancy Wong, which he's never done. She sings in it plenty, but he's just like, now Euro takes center stage. And he actually says, take it away, Nancy! Like, it's this weird thing he does with his voice, and she starts going.
Yeah.
Of course, Nancy Wong is great. I love her. I love that song. Oh, man. It's such a tough call, but I think I might have to go to How Do You Sleep just because I feel like it's so interesting. And I think that's one of those moments when he's yelling at this producer who he doesn't like. And he's saying we take one step forward and six steps back.
Yeah.
And considering he had kind of a complicated, I think, opinion of Obama based on some of him bringing up Obama when he was president. I think that is also applicable to our current political situation, too. Yeah. And I think that's a fun sentence to wrap your song around.
That's the track where they kick that guitar riff in the back half of it, right? When the guitar comes in really heavy?
Yeah, it was mainly synth.
Okay, synth. Let me see if I can find it. That's a great track, man.
I'm exhausted.
This thing is so consistent front to back. There are no low points in this record.
I mean, feel like I just like made love amazingly 8 times in a row, and I am exhausted from it.
Let's take
you
a
guys
break.
Don't feel that way.
That's American Dream. Those are our extended thoughts. It's an album, man. Certainly a long time in coming, but here it is. We will take a short break, and when we come back, we will go to the Billboard Hot 100 to talk about Rake It Up by Yo Gotti. Stay tuned. You can't be believed, and you cannot believe what you're told. You're still a baby now. You're we are back and ready to talk about the latest track on the Billboard Hot 100. Our old pal Yo Gotti has a new single out, and I have not heard this before, but it, boy, what a pleasant surprise.
So, what's this song called?
It's called Rake It Up.
Which, are you joking?
No, Rake It Up.
Rake It Up.
About, that's something I could get behind.
It's about lawn care. A lot of
be respectful to your neighbors because you don't want your leaves going over. Hey,
I just think there's a really interesting juxtaposition between lawn work and personal lives that no one's exploring in music right now. People are too deaf to it. But thankfully, Yo Gotti in his verse about, "Wow, there's too many leaves in the yard, and I'm just too tired to really deal with that right now. Please stop being demanding of me as my partner."
Break it up.
I think it says a lot.
Yeah.
Break it up.
Okay. Well, let's hear the first 30 seconds of "Rake It Up."
Oh, this strip club anthem, nigga, what's up?
Young Money.
Yeah. Me and Mike Will pull up the AOD back to back. Them AMG 63s. I tell all my hoes, rake it up. Break it down. Bag it up. Fuck it up, fuck it up,
fuck it up, fuck it up.
Bag it up, bag it up,
bag it up,
bag it up. Rake it up,
rake it up, rake it up,
rake it up. Bag it up,
bag it up, bag it up,
bag it up. I tell all my hoes, rake it up.
Break it down.
All right.
Starting off strong.
All right. I mean, yes. I feel like...
There's some conflicting messages there, I think.
Really?
He tells all his hoes, rake it up. Okay, that's simple. Rake it up.
Yeah.
Break it down. Hmm. And then something else.
We back it up.
Back it
back
up.
Back it up.
There's a lot of things going on there. So the lawn care angle still is solid. Rake it up.
Right.
Break it down. I don't know what they're breaking down, but it seems like they might have to later then rake that up again.
And well, maybe
they could be composting. I mean, it's could still...
Yeah.
I think maybe the lyrics are wrong. We've been hearing it wrong. It's not back it up. It's bag it up.
Bag it up?
Because you need to bag up
that's,
the lyrics.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
The most important line of the song is the very first one when Yo Gotti says, "Ah, oh, this the strip club anthem. What's up?"
Hey, what's up?
There's a part there that gets very confusing for me where... I guess it makes sense. I've pulled up the lyrics and I'm looking at it that way. So it says, "Yeah, me and Mike will put up to the AOD back to back."
Yeah.
And I didn't understand that at first, but I guess he's saying, "Me and Mike will." Is that his first and middle name, Mike Will?
Yeah, Mike Will.
We
made
pull
it.
Up to the AOD. I'm assuming a location back to back. So one and then the other. Mm-hmm. So they're kind of bad at their timing. I mean, they're still pretty close, but. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not at the same time, which is kind of inconvenient. Right.
Why
you know?
Can't they just, like, carpool?
A little bit rude. Like, who's holding the other one up a little bit? Like,
so Mike Will made it.
Yo Gotti showing up first, and Mike Will, he's like, "Hey, buddy, like, come on. I said 7 o'clock, not 7:10. You know, that gets very frustrating.
Mike Will, I said 7:10. You show up at 7:30. That's very rude. I hated
that's
that.
Law. That's law. You show up at 7:30.
Listen, we know from Yo Gotti that is law. You that's take law. Care of your friends. You be there for them.
Right.
Michael Maida's not doing it.
The AOD is the Ace of Diamonds strip club in Los Angeles.
Oh, okay.
So ironically, former stripper and current flame of 21 Savage, Amber Rose, 21, is a co-partner of the strip club that Yo Gotti and Michael Maida are pulling up to back to back.
Wow, it's amazing that Charlie knows so much about this strip club.
Thanks, Rap Genius.
Oh, is that where you got it? You didn't just know that automatically? No, you didn't just pull that out of your own personal bank of experiences?
I clicked on the little line there that's gray, and then the annotation comes up. And I
interesting. Who posted that?
It says one contributor.
One contributor.
Kumar 109.
Oh, didn't you used to call yourself Kumar?
I don't think I ever did.
Isn't your lucky number 109?
No.
So weird. Your references
I'm pretty sure. I seem to remember a period in your life where you said, "No, now I'm Kumar now. Call me Kumar."
Yeah,
that's
we
why
all,
I'm Kumar. Yeah. And you got so mad if we called you Charlie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm a different person now. So.
Interesting. Yeah. So anyways, Kumar 109 knows a lot about this strip club and a lot about Amber Rose, the stripper, in her personal life. So.
Well, let's get into the central lyric here. The only one in the chorus that is annotated. "I tell all my hoes, rake it up." It says, "In case you haven't noticed, Yo Gotti is constantly referring to strippers and a strip club in the song. So his, quote, hoes are the strippers and he telling them to pick up all the money that he's throwing at them. And they're going to need rakes because there is so much of it."
It's a complicated process, to be quite honest.
This isn't the first time this expression has been used in a rap song, I'll have you know. In Migos' hit single, Bad and Bougie, Lil Uzi Vert says, "So much money, they use rakes. Count 100,000 in your face."
That's rude. Ooh. That's straight rude. Mm.
Yeah, hand it to me. Don't just stick it in my face.
Secondary annotation.
I went to the PNC yesterday, and they got my $20 out, and they counted it in ones all in front of my face.
Did they force you to get a rake and rake it up?
Yeah, they threw it. They
so
used a
walk blower
and just blew it all over the ground, and I had to bag. I had to rake it up. I had to bag it up.
Bag it up. Mm-hmm. Secondary annotation. Could this possibly be a double entendre? It could also be interpreted as he sells drugs, such as marijuana, and he has hoes who rake it up, break it down, and bag it up for sale or personal use.
It's really the question of our era. Could it mean that?
I think it's really, really funny to imagine a strip club and imagine some strippers in several different layers of undress, you know. Got a progression, so some women still fully clothed, some partially there, some really letting it hang out, and Yogati's sitting there just throwing dollar bills.
Break it up.
And then he says, very calmly, hey, break it up. And he forces them all to stop the music. We turn the lights all the way on.
Oh my God.
Out their rakes and they have to rake it all out.
But I think it's interesting that the annotations seem to imply that the rake is the necessary instrument here. You can just rake with your hands, like rake it up, right?
No, there's too much, is what he's implying.
So you have to get a literal rake.
There's a lot. I need to imagine them with a rake.
So the positive about this is that Yo Gotti's a good tipper, but he just does it in the most inconsiderate way. Instead of just like handing it to you or putting it on your body, as you do with strippers, he's just throwing it around haphazardly. You need a rake for it. That's terrible.
I don't understand the back it up process. Does that mean...
Is that like
they
dancing?
Then leave the room?
Like, back it up. Like
no, they've got their money now, so...
Back it up.
You have your money
I guess
now,
I'm not
so
as...
So please leave.
I'm just not quite as understanding as what happens in a strip club.
Well, it takes some,
I forgot the part where they have to back
to.
It up.
So actually,
really, I was all about the money.
I think that this is the new, like, wedding craze, the song, where you break it up. Take it back now, y'all.
One hop this time.
One hoe this time.
One thing about Yo
Gotti... They weren't as good as they were. They did a better job at that.
Oh, man.
Need to practice.
One thing about Yo Gotti. Shut up, Emily!
Oh, no, she's crying. Why'd you do this?
I'm just kidding.
We're going to have to deal with this all day long now.
I'm just kidding. Why'd you freeze?
She's going to start making sounds. It's going to be terrible.
Sounds horrible.
Sounds painful.
Where's my inhaler?
You don't get it until you're done with the podcast. We talked about that. One thing about Yo Gotti, I think, is like he's like super consistent though. Like all his music, like when we listened to him before, I felt like this is some like pretty straightforward rap music. Like it's arguably generic, but like it's definitely there. Like he's definitely doing it. It's good. Like I like that beat pretty well. I you know
Mike Will made it. He's got a history. You know, he's got some good tunes to his name.
Yeah, he's definitely written some pretty good stuff before.
Yeah, I don't know if I like him as much as Metro Boomin, but
you see Metro Boomin's hands at all kinds of. Garbage. I mean,
yeah.
We've talked about that.
Yeah.
Don't need to go back to that old chestnut, at least not until next week.
The Black Beatles beat, right?
Oh, yeah. I think you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
Wow. Maybe he's better.
Maybe
he's actually better.
He's more selective, at least.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
All right. Let's keep going. We got 30 more seconds.
Let's
break it up.
Keep going.
Back it up. Back it up. Back it up. Fuck 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 it up, fuck it up, fuck it up. Rake it up, rake it up, rake it up. I made love to a stripper. First I had to tip her 20,000 once. She said, I'm that nigga. I said, I'm that nigga, bitch, I already know it. I come with bad weather. They say I'm a storm. VVS is in my chum, that's a Rockefeller chain. I was sending bricks to Harlem back when Jay was still with Dame. I'm in for leave child, but I gotta protect on.
Cool.
I think it's very... derivative of what's popular right now. I think
totally.
A lot of rappers are doing this kind of sound.
Yeah, the like the kind of trap mumble kind of stuff.
You know, it's like the same kind of cadence as in a lot of really popular rap tunes. That being said, I like Yo Gotti a lot. Maybe it's his goofy energy that I like or his personality, but I tend to be down with this kind of seen more than the other stuff that's been popular recently.
I really respect that even though he's dropping the F-bomb a lot in this song, he does clarify that he made love to a stripper.
Right.
You know, that's
first
very sweet.
So romantic.
But,
he had a tipper.
And here's what I find really interesting about that neckline is that sound, that very Jonesy sound. It's like... but I mean, you know, he respects him, which I think is honorable.
I'd like to break that down a little bit. So he made love to a stripper, And then he's, like, upset that he had to tip her. And it's like, you know that's not her job, is to have sex with you. That would be a prostitute. Unless she, like, does both. Unless there's some crossover there.
I think there tends to be.
He's already upset about that. 20,000 ones. And it's like, couldn't you have asked for some bigger bills at the bank? Like,
seriously. That's very inconvenient.
She's going to leave, like, with bags of this. It's going to be inconvenient.
I understand wanting to make a scene and throw it all and have her rake it up. But imagine the transport. That's really heavy, carrying 20,000 $1 bills. Like, has he got briefcases with him? Is it just, like, strapped to his body?
Yeah, what's
How is he transporting this legal tender?
It's really interesting to think he comes into the strip club with 20,000 ones strapped to his body.
Or, like a roller suitcase filled with it. Like, we don't know. That's a lot.
Yeah.
He's got to get it in there in the first place. It doesn't just come out of nowhere.
That's just for one girl. We don't know how many more there are. How many ones he needs.
Yeah. Who knows what kind of cash this guy's bringing into the strip club? I, for one, don't.
I need some help understanding some of these lyrics, if you guys don't mind.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely.
I come with bad weather.
They say I'm a storm. Well, according to Rap Genius, Yo Gotti is connected to a trail of misfortune wreaking havoc wherever he goes, much like a storm would destroy everything in its path.
Oh.
He's like a storm.
He's like Storm from the X-Men.
Yeah.
You know what happens to a Yo Gotti when it gets hit by lightning? Same thing as everything else.
After Yo Gotti pays the stripper $20,000, she tells him he's the man. Probably because she sees how successful and wealthy he is.
That's probably it. It could also be like, hey, like, look at that day, like, he had a good vibe, like a good aura. It could be that too. Like, let's not make assumptions here. Any number of things could have been happening in that moment.
Why is he taking so much pride in the fact that he has to pay people to get naked in front of him? Doesn't that seem counterintuitive?
No, this is the strip club anthem.
But yeah, he likes strip clubs. Like, he loves hanging out at the strip club. So he's just like, wow, I love this. This is great.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I don't get it. But to each his own.
I think we should keep going.
Yeah.
Okay. Got a stripper with me. She picked up the chick home. She gon' fuck it up, fuck it up, fuck it up. She don't need makeup. She gon' rake it up. Tell the nigga pay up. She said, pay for the pussy. Hey, wait for the pussy. Ask God to forgive me. Cause I pray for the pussy. I tell all my hoes, rake it up, break it down, bag it up. Fuck it up. Bag it up.
Why is Yo Gotti so likable? Is it because he's like been in the game for so long and has been consistently at about the same level, which is like two steps below anybody else? Like, he's really endearing when he says it. He's trying so hard, man.
He's endearing.
Yeah.
You know what? Like, okay, there's a couple things. I think that beat is kind of lame. Like, it sounds so boring. Yeah. It sounds like they literally Mike Will Made It was, like, sitting in front of his keyboard and just randomly, like, did a little, like, spinner thing on the keyboard to find a new sound. He's like, doom, yeah, it works fine. Doom, doom, doom. Like, that feels like how it was written.
Yeah.
But I really like his flow. I thought that was actually a lot of fun, that verse there.
The back half of that first verse.
Yeah. Are you guys, like, how are you guys thinking about the song so far? Like, as a song, would you be driving downtown in your souped up car? Would you be driving to the strip club? Would you put this on? Would you bang it out to this banger? Would you jam out to this jazz sesh?
Do you want to keep going a little bit longer?
No, I think I'm
okay. Yeah, I think it's fun. I think this is maybe more so a song, like, I'm not going to listen to this song alone. I would feel very strange, I think, listening to this alone in my car. But like with a crowd of people at the club, I would be excited when the song came on.
I would only listen to it by myself. I couldn't imagine listening to it with anybody else. It'd be too embarrassed.
I would at least need some candles lit if I'm going to put this on. I need to really, really sink into it.
Those last four lines, these lines interpolate O.D. Genesis, but it's spelled like Genesis. Push it. The flow is taken from the hook where Genesis raps, go get the money, go get the money.
Great.
Oh, I thought you were referencing the Bible.
No.
Genesis. I did not understand what's happening. I was like, whoa.
Well, of course.
It's about to get very deep.
God said,
so I'm assuming Genesis is another rapper.
Yeah, it's actually in the book of Paul. Go get the money, go get the money.
Yeah.
Rake it up.
Yeah.
It's in the Ten Commandments, right?
It's the Tenth Commandment, yeah.
Abide by your parents.
VVS is in my charm. That's a Rockefeller chain. I was sending bricks to Harlem back when Jay was still with Dame. Rockefeller Records was founded by Jay-Z with Dame and Dame Dash, featuring artists like Kanye West and Beanie Sigel. When the label signed the artist would get a Rockefeller chain, which had the logo in VVS, a clarity grading for diamonds, minimum quality diamond on it. Jay-Z quit the label after disagreements with Dash in the early 2000s, and his label faded out. Jay-Z won the rights to the logo and has started giving out chains to artists signed to or partners with the new label, Roc Nation, such as DJ Khaled, Big Sean, and Yo Gotti. The album art shows Gotti wearing one of these chains.
I really respect that this song is founded in historical references. I think that really adds a special layer to the experience.
I think it's important we remember history. I mean, you guys certainly realize, like, some people really don't respect history, huh? I mean, we've seen that in the news. So I'm glad that at least Mike Will Made It and Yo Gotti are at least preserving.
Mm-hmm. I've learned something new today about Rockefeller and VVS and...
Yeah. Crazy. I still don't. I feel what I don't know what VVS is.
I still don't know.
It's a grading gradient for diamonds.
Oh, well, great.
Oh. What's up next? My hoes, break it up, break it down, back it up, fuck 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 it up. Fuck it up, fuck it up, fuck it up. Yo, break it up, break it up, break it up. Brought out the pink Lamborghini just to race with China. What the race to China? Just to race in China. Little bad Trini bitch, but she mixed with China. Real thick vagina, smuggle bricks to China. I tell all my niggas, cut the check, cut the check. Bust it out, bust it, turn your goofy. So,
I'm so ready for this Nicki Minaj verse.
It's pretty good. Did not try to rhyme at all. They just decided to end every verse with China, which you can't rhyme a word with itself.
Except for one other word, which he does say.
Vagina.
So she did one rhyme.
Yeah.
I thought that's like rap is based off of like wordplay and like... flow, and she's just kind of
real thick vagina.
She's just kind of pushing through it, like
I like here again the historical elements referencing Black China.
Yeah,
very good. So a different type of.
There's
China.
One different China just at the beginning, and then I'm assuming the country the rest of the way through.
Really interesting though that smuggling bricks to China through your vagina. An interesting process. I could imagine it would be, you know, interesting. Getting caught in security with some bricks in your vagina. I'm interpreting all of this literally, like bricks that you build walls with.
Yeah.
In your vagina.
No. Sorry, you're getting this wrong. I have to interrupt you. It's Lego bricks.
Lego bricks. Yeah. Oh, that's more possible.
Kind of embarrassing you didn't know, really. But that's actually, there's a huge Lego smuggling trade happening, specifically because it's outlawed in China.
Okay, that makes sense. I think a very interesting line so far. I'm ready for it to pick up, though. It's feeling a little slow.
Oh, really?
This Nicki Minaj bit. I want some crazy Nicki Minaj. I like it when she goes cray.
You know what? We all know and we've all learned, we were all taught in school that when Yo Gotti comes, he comes with bad weather. And I feel like Nicki Minaj might be the storm this song is waiting for.
Wow. Do you plan that out in advance? You just come up with that on the spot?
Yeah, when I was home and I realized this was going to be the song and I listened to it and I wrote down a bunch of versions of that sentence. I decided on that one. Was it good?
Yeah, I liked it a lot. Nicely done.
Another win for Mark.
This is the kind of tune that I like hearing Nicki Minaj's voice on. This is where I think she fits in.
She stands out.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. She fits in and stands out at the same time.
Yeah. It's got to be kind of like maximalist and loud and big.
And a strip club, primarily.
Yeah. Sure. Lusty. Why don't we use the word lusty? Nicki Minaj is lusty.
She is lusty.
Why don't we use that word? No one ever says it. Splits on it, yeah, splits on it. I'm a bad bitch, I'ma throw fits on it. I'ma bust it open. I'ma go stupid and be a ditz on it. I don't date honey. Cookie on tsunami. All my niggas wipe me once they get that good punani. I think he need the bunny. I might just let them find me. Never trust a big butt and a smile worth the Ronnie. Rep queens like Supreme. Ass web and nitty. Ass bin me and Joe. Nigga run me my dough. This game is freezing like it wait in the cow. I like the way she says big butt. Never trust a big butt. It was very like, it stood out. I appreciated that.
But doesn't she have a big butt?
Yeah.
Yeah. So don't trust it.
Don't trust her.
Never trust a big butt. Never trust and her. A smile. Word to Ronnie. Maybe I should not be a rapper. Word to Ronnie.
What I like about here is that I'm looking at this on, what is it, Rap Genius? And, like, all of her lines have annotations. And then if you go up, like, none of Yogati's yeah. do. Like, very few.
Because, like, Yogati's not actually really engaging with, like, wordplay. He's literally just saying, I went to a strip club. I gave someone money that I had sex.
That's long.
I did that. I did that. I did that. That's pretty much his whole verse.
That's yeah. law.
Yeah, that's law. Oh, man. Those halcyon days. Remember?
For the line, never trust a big butt with a smile, word to Ronnie. This is an interpolation of Belle Biv DeVoe's 1990 song Poison. That girl is poison, never trust a big butt and a smile. Ronnie is Ronald Boyd DeVoe Jr., one of the group's members, with his reference in her famous posterior in mind. Nikki is implying that someone like her is poison for the average man. Secondary annotation, in the movies Grown Ups, Chris starring Chris Rock and Adam Sandler, God. A boy named Ronnie has a full diaper, shakes his butt and smiles, then his family says, go Ronnie, go Ronnie.
So,
this listening to these annotations is really
secondary
rough.
Annotation is saying so that this is a throwback possible. To Grown Ups.
Yeah.
That's that such a movie. Leap. That's such a leap, Bailey Tisdale.
It seems to fit, though.
I don't know. I think the first one made a whole lot of sense.
We're into Ronnie.
In the movies Grown Ups, starring Chris Rock and Adam Sandler. Wow, what's a King of Queens really got the stint there, right?
Yeah.
It's really fun to think of Nicki Minaj sitting down on a couch and watching Grown Ups. I really enjoy that thought. And then going like, oh, I need to reference Ronnie at some point in time.
Go Ronnie. Go Ronnie.
God, I was in particular inspired by the scene in which his poopy butthole is swung about with a diaper. Alright, what else we got here in the annotations?
This is, honestly, these lyrics are difficult to understand without the annotations. Wrist game is freezing, like it wait in the cold. Her wrist game?
Okay, freezing is another way of saying icy, which indicates expensive or diamond-encrusted jewelry. Nikki has so much ice, she compares it to a person shivering in cold weather. Cold and cold are close homophones. A cold MC is a highly skillful one. Oh, also, Nikki may be her stage moniker. But her actual first name is Annika.
Wow. It's funny how many of these annotations are, like, I feel like these are pretty throwaway references. And usually when there's a throwaway reference, like the Genius annotations, I feel like they go by pretty quick. I feel like this time it's, like, paragraphs explaining, like,
yeah.
who this person was, what their career was, where they were born.
Yeah.
It's incredibly
their first love. Their last love.
Yeah, they're all so long.
Oof. I feel like you need to get really deep into, like, the rap game to be able to understand these lyrics on your own.
Yeah.
Huh.
Oh, man. We got an unreviewed annotation. We should have, like, an alarm for that.
Is that for the Amadou splits?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that the one you read?
No. I was looking at it, though.
These verses are sexual. The line, Amadou splits on it. Yes. Splits on it. I mean, she's going to do a split on his penis. Same goes for, I'ma throw fits on it. Means she gonna be aggressive with the sex. Lastly, the line, I'ma bust it open, I'ma go stupid and be a ditz on it. Simply, this means she's gonna give it to him and gonna act crazy, meaning doing things he wouldn't expect. These verses are sexual, I think, you know. Yeah. Yeah, fair. Yeah,
really interesting yeah. metaphor for sexual experiences here with,
oh no,
I don't date yeah. honey, cookie on tsunami. It's an interesting one to break down, I think.
Cookie
on tsunami. I'm not going to break it down, but it would be interesting, too.
That's not what we're here for. That's not what the 30-second breakdown is for. Breaking things down. We're here to build things up. I'm having a good time on this track. This is track we've had to cover for the last, like, 2 months, it's, like, been dire. Like, I feel like almost everything we talk about is boring garbage fire. And, like, garbage fires are inherently interesting.
But when you have like 5 in a row,
yeah.
it's kind of like, we've seen this before.
Oh my god, here it goes again.
Well, let's keep pushing on with...
Uncle Phil's drunk in the backyard, I get it.
Uh-huh. Nickname is Nikki, but my name ain't Nicole.
I tell all my hoes, rake it up, break it down, bag it up. Fuck it up, fuck it up, fuck it up, fuck it up. Bag it up, bag it up, bag it up, bag it up. Rake it up, rake it up, rake it up, rake it up. Bag it up, bag it up, bag it up, bag it up. I tell all my hoes, rake it up, break it down, bag it up, bag it up, bag it up. Fuck it up, fuck it up, fuck it up. Fuck it up, fuck it up, fuck it up. Fuck it up, fuck it up, fuck it up. Rake it up, rake it up, rake it up. Well, I'm the dope.
I mean, it's dumb.
Yep.
Yeah.
But it's also fun.
That's true.
Dumb fun is...
Mm-hmm. Is there a better kind?
Yeah, you need that every now and then, right?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
The other tracks you've been listening to have been dumb, but they haven't been fun.
Yeah.
In the way that Yo Gotti is. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's just his personality or the Law song that I love so much, but man, I want to hang out with this guy all the time.
Yeah, well...
I want to wear big fluffy white jackets and hang out with this guy.
Mm-hmm. You want to go to the strip club?
Yeah, why not? If he's going to be there.
Yeah. Okay, here's a question, though. Like, he's a high roller.
Yeah.
And he only uses ones. So you're going to have to figure out logistics. Well,
that's also good, because mm-hmm. I don't carry any bills higher than ones, because it's all I can have in my wallet anytime. I don't even get 20s. I can only scrounge up ones in the street.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Side note, we went to a burger joint earlier, and I suddenly remember, having just been there, that one time I tried to buy a burger from that place with a check. Like, all I had was a checkbook, so I wrote a check for a burger.
They
took it, yeah. And then they made a comment like, I don't know, usually when we get these, they bounce. And I was like, wow, you get that a lot? People are writing checks at the cheeseburger joint?
Did your check bounce?
No, of course not. Heavens. I'm fiscally responsible, you know.
That's a really fun thing to write, though, when you're balancing your checkbook.
Yeah.
Check number 217. Yeah. $7.62. That's a check that's worth it.
The first line in the Yo Gotti verse we're about to hear says, "I'm the doughboy, the one they talking about." This is a reference to NWA's song Gangsta Gangsta on Straight Outta Compton. The original line said by Eazy-E goes, "Well, I'm Eazy-E, the one they're talking about." Since this line plays homage at NWA, the use of the term doughboy may draw from the song Dope Man, the same album. A line said in that song begins similarly and is also said by Eazy-E, "Well, I'm the dope man. Yeah, boy, wear corduroy."
That's incredibly boring.
You know what?
And like, the way you read it is incredibly boring. I could not pay attention to any of it. I don't know why we needed that 30 seconds of
our
lives.
I like that he calls himself the dope boy.
I also like that seems even more weird and specific than my LCD sound system conspiracy board. Like, oh, well, Doughboy sounds a lot like this man. Like, that doesn't seem that similar to me.
It's such a stretch, I think, like... I think he just likes to be called the Doughboy.
Yeah.
I'm reminded of the Pillsbury Doughboy that you, like, poke his
of
belly
course.
And he goes,
"Hoo-hoo." Yes.
And I think probably Yo Gotti's the same way. If I were to poke his, like, tummy, he would go, "Hoo-hoo."
Yeah.
And then say, "That's
I get
law.
The vibe."
I've never seen a picture of Yo Gotti.
Really?
As an adult. Hmm. I only saw an album cover of him as a little boy. So I don't really know what he looks like.
You're right. The art of style.
Is he, like, is he a rotund gentleman?
I don't know. Let's find out.
I just feel like it would be unsatisfying to poke a thin man.
And if he's going to call himself the Doughboy, he's got to back it up, you know?
Yeah.
Back it up.
I'll let Yo Gotti do it.
Seems like he's just kind of...
How old do you think he is? Because I remember that he didn't understand how Snapchat worked.
Right.
He had to learn that. So it's like I'm imagining someone a little older, but...
He is only 5'7", so he's a little short.
Well, that was an unnecessary dig no one asked about. Yeah.
He's 36.
You would think a 36-year-old would know a little more about technology.
I don't know about that.
Well,
those older millennials.
That's
struggling.
True, but he's
not not tech.
He's got money, though, right?
He's got all these, the doughboy.
He's got these gadgets. He should, like... People should teach him how to use these.
But do stores really accept, like, it's pretty ridiculous to write a check for a cheeseburger, but if I rolled in to, like, buy, like, a laptop with, like, 1,500 in ones, I might get turned down for that laptop.
That's true.
Maybe that's his problem. He's like, I'm just afraid of anything above the number one. I can't be carrying more than that. It makes purchasing things as a consumer really difficult.
We should also mention that this is his highest rating single to date. It's the highest it's ever been on the Billboard chart at number 10.
That's great. Good for him.
Yeah. Break it up.
Break it up.
21.
Let's go to the next verse. Boy, the one they talking about. All these gossiping and niggas got my name in their mouth. I know the bad bitches, but no niggas who bitches too. They should bleed once a month. Could deal with these bitches, do you a bitch? And your bitch should expose you. All that pillow talking, nigga, deal with the hoes, do you a bitch? Word to my nigga short. We won't ever write no statement. We ain't showing up in court. Bitch. We don't do no gossiping. We don't do no arguing. We don't beef on social sites.
This is a dumb thing. This is a really dumb thing.
It's great.
He's getting really aggressive.
Yeah, I know how quick I can get turned off from a song so quickly mm-hmm. when they start saying ridiculous things, and that is incredibly sexist. That is 100% sexist. And I know that sometimes I find things there that are a little bit more, you know, subversive or subtle or hard to identify, and throws me off. But here, they should bleed once a month because that's what these bitches do. You're a bitch. You're just like a woman, and women bleed. And
on purpose. It's their fault. Yeah. They choose
so
to
he's
do
literally,
it.
The, and I mean, it's funny the way that he keeps saying bitch, but he's saying, you are just like a bitch. And he's referring to all women, essentially, as bitches. And he's saying, oh, you're just like a woman.
Yeah.
Woman. And that makes me incredibly angry. Yeah. Like, but I just went from loving the song to, like, I will never listen to the song. This song will come on and I will get angry.
But
and he did that very quickly for me, within 30 seconds.
The way they write out the word bitch. B-E-I-T-C-H.
Well, okay.
Bitch!
There is an unreviewed annotation for They Should Bleed Once a Month, because that's what these bitches do. Mm-hmm. It's by Loop Sagoon, and he says,
oh,
when applied to a man, bitch is a derogatory term for subordinate. These guys, which is an interesting interpretation
yes,
of that word.
Yeah, it is.
These guys should menstruate, in parentheses, bleed once a month. Like women, quote, bitches do. Interesting.
Wow.
Thanks for that,
Yama. A subordinate. I love that they use the word subordinate. Like, if I reach across the table, and I slap Charlie in the face and I call him a bitch, like I'm thinking he's my subordinate,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm. Just like all women.
Yeah, right?
Because all women are subordinates.
Oh, by the way, why do you guys keep choosing to have periods? I've been wondering why it's every single woman chooses it, and I'm just kind of curious.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a good question.
Oh.
And on to the next track.
We just hit our target. We don't do no rumors. We don't pay no shooters. You a little bitty bitch. You should work at Hooters. You a old hater. You a fucking cougar. You a and he a and y'all like twin sisters. Respect your hustle. Get your money, baby. Win with us. Your boyfriend acting like a then why you still with him? I tell all my hoes, rake it up, break it down. Bag it up. Fuck it up, fuck it up, fuck it up, fuck it up. Bag it up, bag it up, bag it up, bag it up, rake it up.
Okay, what happened to Yo Gotti that he's sitting here, he's just happy at the club.
Yeah.
He's so, you know, woo, rake it up, back it up, woo, woo, right?
Right?
And then all of a sudden, there's one line where everything just has to change just in the last 30 seconds, but it's just unbelievable to me. And then all of a sudden, he loses his mind for that, like, 25 seconds, 30 seconds. And then all of a sudden, he's back to normal. I tell all my hosts, break it up, break it down, back it up. And it's like, whoa, why did he just lose his mind for 40 seconds there?
Yeah.
Like, what, where, how did that last? And that was the first time he really went crazy with lyrics, right?
Yeah.
That was the first time he actually had significant things to say. He was doing some stuff with words. He was getting a little bit faster. You know, he was doing, like, the rappy part. And he just, like, lost his mind and seemed to have nothing to do.
Thematically, he really changed it up.
With the chorus. I don't get it.
He just got angry really quickly.
Is that, because that's a verse with someone else, so was that too short? Because right before that line, he goes.
Oh, yeah, he does mention short.
Yeah.
But I don't know which part is he. Is he just saying bitch over and over? Is that short?
It's possible.
He brought him in for that?
I mean.
According to Rap Genius, he popularized it.
He popularized saying bitch.
Yeah.
I disagree.
Blow the whistle.
That was always popular.
Yeah, I'm
saying
think
it with an E
one.
In it.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. I hear you.
That's one. I like
the way
Oh,
also
that.
He makes a lot of noises, which are interesting.
Yeah.
It's
an interesting choice.
It would be interesting for a person to make sudden and random noises. That would be an interesting choice.
If only we knew somebody who did things like that.
That's fine. Who is he talking to here, though?
It seems like he's talking about two different people, right? And he says, and y'all like twin sisters. He's talking about two people.
Yeah.
I wonder, do our annotations not give us, like, the download on what the big rap battles are in these days?
Yeah.
All it says for that line is this guy has such female tendencies that Yo Gotti calls him a bitch and tells him that he and his homies act like women so much that they might as well be sisters themselves.
Okay, so, but here's some interesting points, though. He first of all, he makes sure that, you know, he doesn't go to court. He also says, I don't gossip, I don't argue, I don't beef on social sites. I just write hit singles where I talk crap on you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what are you talking about? That's literally what the point, that's your thesis statement, in fact.
Yeah.
We don't do no rumors. It seems like it seems
except
like
for everything I'm about to say right now.
Yeah, other than everything I stand for in this very moment, I don't stand for that.
It's fine.
Good callback. Oh man,
but I feel like he also has to be talking about like some woman here also, or women in general. Unless he's your boyfriend acting like a bitch, then why are you still with him? Like, or is that another thing? Like, oh, you guys are like bitches and you date each other. I don't know. Like, something stupid like that.
Yeah.
So I don't. Yeah. I don't understand.
No, I don't think I don't get the impression here that he's respecting women enough to like see them as separate from their boyfriends. Like, he's just contextualizing women as,
oh, of course,
you're dating that guy. So and like that's it. Like that's as far property, as he seems to be considering women here.
Well, this is also the strip club anthem. So, you know, if we're into objectifying and that's the...
I don't think strip clubs in and of themselves have to necessarily be... I think that there can be some body positivity there. There can be some, you know, sexual revolution, things that aren't necessarily terrible.
Okay.
No, yeah, I don't...
But, so like, I'm not... I think that it can be played in a certain way. I think that typically it is.
Yeah.
But like, this section really took it to a whole nother level.
You got
like,
angry.
There's a difference between being sexually attracted to somebody or people and wanting to see them naked and then... basically saying like they have no value as human beings. Mm-hmm. Do you see what I'm saying? Like he took it to another level with this with this section. Yeah.
Break it up. Raindrop.
Okay.
Drop top.
I have a fun annotation for the lyric. You should work at Hooters. It's unreviewed, so like take it with a grain of salt. But it says Hooters is famous for employing hot women to work as waitresses.
Is that it?
Just, oh, perfect.
That's
good.
Just yeah.
Good to know.
That's just true.
Rake it up. I tell all my hoes, rake it up, break it down, back it up, fuck it up.
It's almost like he's an insane person. And he was like having lots of fun. And then there was like that trigger. Mm-hmm. And he lost his mind. And then all of a sudden he was like, oh, I'm supposed to be normal. And he's like, oh, yeah, I tell all my hoes, break it up. It's like he just had to finish that way to be like, oh, I'm not crazy. We're having fun. Yeah. Back it up. If that feels real weird after he just like lost his mind on this whoever that's gossiping about him. Mm-hmm. And now he's like, I mean, just, I give money to strippers. Back it up, ladies. It feels real weird there at the end. It seems kind of sad. Like, he's like some old 36-year-old dude who doesn't understand Snapchat. And somebody said something mean about him and he lost his mind. And now he's like, oh, no, I'm still fun. I'm still young. I'm still relevant. It felt sad to me.
Having fun at the party still, right? Everyone having... Okay.
Right, I've still got the money. I can throw it around. You can rake it up some more.
Consider that this is his highest rating single to date. This is the one that struck a chord with the masses.
Yeah.
More so than Down in the DM?
More so than Down in the DM.
It go down. That's where it go down. It's... In the DM. Mm-hmm. In fact.
We got 6 seconds left.
That also felt sad.
I mean, honestly, though, I imagine it would be very difficult to write a song about how much you like hanging out at strip clubs as a guy and not seeming a little sad. Like, you have to
Mark
work.
Kozlik. Oh, man, you know, doing a strip club, looking around at everybody else, and I'm hating it, and I'm in Ohio, because everything is alone.
Mark sure ran out of steam quick on that butt verse.
laughing.
But I feel like you'd really have to, like talk about you. There have to be a lot of like positivity or like oh, it's fun for everyone. Like I'm having fun doing this. Like you really, there has to be a certain vibe to make it not sad.
And I'm in love with the stripper.
Exactly. No. Yeah. That's a perfect example. Yeah. And I don't feel like maybe this doesn't quite accomplish that. Mm. I feel like getting angry in the middle of it maybe is a reason why.
But it was an exciting turn of events.
It was definitely. I was interested. Mm-hmm. Also, that Nicki Minaj verse was good.
It was pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Eh, not my fave.
Fair enough.
This is my favorite song.
But relative to the other stuff that we've had, this is
way better.
Way more interesting to talk about, I think, than a lot of pop songs out there, because they just get so stupid and so repetitive, you know?
Oh.
There's a lot going on in here that you can dig into.
Yeah. Maybe it's those rose-tinted glasses looking back on all of the weeks that we've stumbled through here, but I think I'm going to add it to my list.
I'm going to add it, too. I definitely got to take it. Even if just for that Nicki Minaj verse, I'm comfortable having this in my playlist.
And even though we recognize the horrific turn it takes,
uh-huh.
It's sort of like listening to Mel Gibson's like angry phone calls, where it's like it's horrible, but you're fascinated by it. You have to keep listening.
Yeah, and it's okay. I mean, it's the social norm, right? That women aren't important and that women don't have any value. So might as well not, make any waves. We can just keep it and hang around with it for a while and just acknowledge that women are subordinate.
Yeah,
so that's fine. That's
so
good.
So I'm going to put it on my list as well.
Oh, no. I will never take this song. It's not mine.
What do you feel about Nicki Minaj's involvement? Actually, you know what? This song actually makes a pretty good... It's probably a pretty good conversation starter about the word bitch and about how it's just been sort of captured in the rap scene.
Yeah.
It's just sort of like, it's just what we use. Everyone accept it, you know?
Yeah, I think Nicki Minaj is really interesting because she is such a strong person. Not just a strong female, because we use that term, most females are not strong, but she's a strong person.
Yeah.
Very strong personality, very strong opinions. Yeah. And so I find it interesting that she wouldn't have more issues with the rest of that song,
okay.
Just because she seems like the kind of person that would not be okay with that, but I don't know.
She also is a rapper, right? So that's like, this stuff is around her all the time.
It's a part of that.
So, I don't know. She can't change the whole thing herself. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
She's got to make that money somehow. Mm-hmm. Do those features.
That young money.
Mm-hmm.
She's
mm-hmm.
selling herself then.
Yeah.
Okay, wait, don't just jump to conclusions here.
Yeah, all entertainers.
I don't think we can say that and make it seem true. That doesn't seem fair.
All right, well, 3 out of 4 stars for the Yogadis.
Wow, what a good review. Almost unanimous.
Yeah.
Almost unanimous. Almost?
Almost.
Yeah. Pretty close.
Only one vote
so
away.
The last, that last vote, it was just pretty close. It wasn't 75% of the way. It was like we were 90% of the way there because that woman at the very end doesn't count as it's not the same weight as
no,
the men's opinion.
Because I have more weight personally than anyone here.
Oh,
that's
okay.
What it is.
So that's
it's just I have more.
Okay. Right. I'm okay with
that's democracy in action.
She has 90% of the shares and we clues.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Cool. That's Yogadi. So here's the deal. We want to talk about Taylor Swift a little bit. She put out 2 singles in preparation of her album Reputation, which will be due out in November. And as predicted, Mark, this single, Look What You Made Me Do, has shot up to number 1 on the Billboard. So I think the plan here maybe is to wait and hold our thoughts until next week when we do a 30-second breakdown of that song.
Mm-hmm.
And I would love to talk about the video with you as well, because that thing also would go really nicely for a discussion. But nothing's going to stop maybe the ladies from giving their thoughts on Tay-Tay Swift. So list your name and your affiliation with Taylor and how you feel about this new single, please, and the direction of her brand.
Yeah, of course. I'm Becky.
Mm-hmm.
My relationship with Taylor Swift goes back quite a few years. I cannot stand her, and yet I love everything that she does.
That's a
it's a very complex. I think that a lot of people stand where I stand,
mm-hmm.
and that they are constantly annoyed by her and frustrated and sick of hearing about it. And yet they do all the research. They
mm-hmm.
were very interested in the breakup with Calvin Harris, and they spent a lot of time reading articles about it. Jones knows exactly what I'm talking about. And this new single is, I think, Taylor Swift. It's a change, right? Everybody's talking about how this is a different Taylor Swift, right? The old Taylor Swift is dead. But this is so Taylor Swift of her, right?
Mm-hmm.
It fits in perfectly. And I like it. I like that it's a little bit, it's like meaty. Do you know what I mean? It's like kind of angry and angsty, and I like that, and I appreciate that. I think it's really catchy. It's one of them, kind of like Shake It Off was, where you get it stuck in your head and you can't get it out. The video is killer. The video is a lot of fun to watch. There's a lot going on there. Really interesting, progression, I think,
mm-hmm.
kind of pulling in all those older versions of Taylor Swift. I appreciated that. But ultimately, it's a Taylor Swift song, so, how much does it matter?
Mm-hmm.
How much do I really want to talk about it or think about it? Not much. But when it comes on the radio, I'll turn it up a few notches.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Look what you just made me do. Look what you just made me do.
Look What You Made Me Pod, my new Taylor Swift podcast.
Good. I've been waiting for it.
Jonesy, what are you thinking?
I agree.
There you go, folks.
Wow.
Have a great week.
Deal sealed.
No. No, I'm in agreement. Like, she's kind of like an annoying character that's always in the media, always popping up. And I've listened to the song. It gets stuck in your head, like, pretty easily, more easily than I would like, maybe. Because at first I listened to it and I'm like, that's a really weird beat she's got for the chorus there. Kind of that, I'm too sexy for my shirt vibe. I'm not. Everyone's, like, a lot of people are making that comparison.
I haven't heard that.
Really?
Yeah.
That's funny.
Wright said Fred is an accredited writer on the song. To avoid lawsuits.
Yeah. This thing is
Wait,
so
seriously?
Dumb.
Just like Tom Petty on that what song? On that British crooner song.
Oh,
you know what I'm talking about.
I remember hearing about that, but I don't know.
What is it? Anyway.
Shoot.
We'll edit this out.
What all? I'm editing out this whole podcast.
So, I at first heard that, and I'm like, that's kind of silly sounding, but it gets stuck in there. Mm-hmm. And, like, again, Taylor Swift, I don't think she understands, like, feminism. She tries to do that, and I don't think she quite gets it. And the thing is, I've listened to, like, her other songs, and they're also catchy. Like, what is it? Shake It Off? That's very catchy. And I've also listened to Ryan Adams covered all of 1989.
Yeah.
And I listened to the way he does the songs, and I'm like, I really dig this.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, so I can't maybe shit on her completely. Like, she wrote the song.
Just shit on her a little bit.
He just did it better.
Right, yeah.
But man, this one is very heavy-handed, I feel, with the symbolism, with her... What is it? Her battles with other famous people. Her duels. Mm-hmm. People are also saying this one is about Katy Perry. I don't see it as much because she really... Well, whatever. Yeah. But she, like, channeled, like, the snake energy because they called her a snake. And I'm like, yeah, that's cool that you're, like, reclaiming it. That, in itself, is a cool thing to do. But also, have you listened to this song? You are a snake. Listen to what you're saying. Maybe I got mine, but you'll all get yours.
Yeah.
Like, she's not really proving anyone wrong.
Yeah.
She's just kind of leaning into it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I so badly want to respond to all this talk, but we can't. We're under obligation to cover it in the Billboard next week.
Mm-hmm. Do you think, I this is maybe like a wrench in it, but like I was listening to KRCW's Left, Right, and Center, and they actually brought a guy who wrote an article about how this song is the first pop song of the Trump era, where it reflects the culture and politics of Donald Trump in terms of sort of, I don't agree with it, but he's talking about how the song is like pointlessly self-obsessed and angry at people that with no like sense of like feeling fault of yourself.
Yeah, look what you made me do. It's the whole
without
purpose
taking
here.
Any agency.
Whereas I did, this is interesting because I haven't read anything about the song, I've just heard it. So, you know, taking your actions and then saying, oh, I did this, but I'm not responsible for it.
Right.
For it in the least bit. Politically, that's something that's been happening quite a bit. And as a country, you know, some of the struggles that we're going through right now, there's a lot of people, like, blaming others and not really taking on full responsibility. So that is interesting. I don't know if Taylor Swift is on the up and up politically and, like, really, you know, checking the pulse of, like, the American culture. So I don't know if that was intentional. I think, though, perhaps it fits in. I do think, though, that in general... when you look at what was happening politically and which people are maybe making those sorts of claims, I don't know if that's her target audience. The millennials, for the most part, were not voting for Donald Trump, and they weren't going in that particular direction. And so I don't really know if I see that link there.
Yeah.
But I think it's an interesting kind of way to look at the world and to look at, you know, some of the problems of the world.
Well, Taylor Swift and Donald Trump also share that similarity where, I don't know if you've read about this at all, any of you, but she was kind of claimed by some of the alt-right community as an Aryan kind of perfect figure.
What?
Yeah.
No.
I see that.
And this was kind of like, it was all around those circles on the internet and people were kind of reporting on it. And when asked about it, Taylor Swift just won't discuss it or talk about anything political because she doesn't want to alienate anybody.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
And so there's...
She can't say, no, that's the Aryan Nation isn't okay. Like, Nazis are bad. She can't say that?
Like the Donald president. Trump. That's what
I'm
saying.
Oh, my God.
So there's maybe
I'm so angry at Taylor Swift. Why does she suck so hard?
Right.
I wish her songs weren't so catchy. I want to hate her so badly.
But that's the dilemma with stuff like this, right? Because I feel like most popular reaction to this song has been negative. And yet, it's still number one on the Billboard. It's still going to be played everywhere. People are still going to be obsessed with seeing how this thing rolls out. Mm-hmm. What is it with our culture and our obsession with these kinds of people, these sorts of...
narcissists.
Yeah.
That's such a great question.
Why are we fascinated with them?
Because
even, like, going back to the president again, like, the dude dominated the news feeds of every major news outlet.
Mm-hmm.
And it may have been negative, but it was still domination.
What's even more interesting, though, is that, like, with songs, we take on that persona. We sing along. Mm-hmm. You know, these songs, particularly by Taylor Swift, are intended for the audience to learn the words and to sing along. I think it was, I was still listening to this song for the first time, and I started singing along with it because I was picking up on the chorus. You know, you want to try it out. You want to sing it. So we're listening to somebody who's very clearly, you know, a narcissist, or this character that she's created. I don't necessarily want to say Taylor Swift's a narcissist, but this character she's created is a narcissist in the song. And we're taking on that persona by singing it, which is really interesting. So different from looking at Trump and the people who support that, and they support, you know, oh, well, he does what he wants and he'll say whatever he's thinking, you know, and love that about him on Twitter. That what's so intriguing about that is that now we're not just appreciating that and respecting that, but we're assuming that personality as well by singing along to the song.
You find that if you, it's like you become the song if you're jamming to it?
In certain ways. It's almost, it's subconscious. It's not like you're like all of a sudden, ah, no, I am Taylor Swift. Like, I'm not becoming Taylor
it's
Swift.
It's not the fly.
But when you listen to a song and it's, you know, like, like I think a really good example is like some body positive songs that have come out recently, like, I'm All About That Bass was one of the first really, really big ones. And you sing that and you get into it and you start like, you know, you're like, yeah, I've got a booty. It's good. You know, like you take on those sorts of things and you listen to songs that are sad or about heartbreak. And even if you're not currently feeling that, you sing it and you're like remembering those things and it kind of pulls you into that emotional state.
Okay.
So in that moment, you kind of get that, like, you start thinking about the people that you argue with and that you fight with. You know, hey, look what you made me do. Mm-hmm. You know,
so,
you're taking that on. You're assuming that in some way, even if it's just a role play and it's subconscious, I think it makes an impact.
So you think this song is bad for the world?
Yes. Uh-huh. This is the turning point. This is the downfall.
Yeah.
She also might have revealed that she's Santa Claus. You got that in there. I've got a list of names and yours is in red underlined. I check it once. And then I check it twice.
Oh, God. It all makes sense.
So I always wondered why Santa Claus was so hot.
Yeah. We all have.
Yeah.
So that's very interesting also, because obviously that's like nonsense. She just kind of did a weird thing that's like a Christmas song. But like, what if like you have her being kind of like this narcissistic personality, and that personality is Santa Claus? Like, what if Santa's just a dick?
Wait, if Taylor Swift is Santa Claus,
yes.
Ed Sheeran is Mrs. Claus.
He so is.
Oh, but I love the idea of Ed Sheeran being
Mrs. Claus.
Taylor Swift being Santa Claus is just like, ah. But Ed Sheeran being Mrs. Claus, I can get behind that.
Yeah.
That makes me happy. I bet he bakes wonderful cookies.
Yeah.
You think so?
Yes.
Well, he sure can't talk about sweet and sour chicken for hours on end. So if I know anything about bakers.
Hours and hours.
About the sweet and the sour.
If you said you wanted to talk to me about chicken for hours, I'd be like, that's so long.
That's a long time.
Hours and hours. Endless stream of time.
Well, like I said, we'll give our full thoughts on this thing next week when we do the 30-second breakdown for the Billboard. Nonetheless, it's a huge hit already. And another one is out. What's the other one called?
I haven't heard it yet.
That other one. That other one.
Look,
guys.
I did it.
It sounds like every other title to a Taylor
Ready
Swift
for it.
Song.
Cool. That's it. Mark, let's talk about next week, huh?
Guns don't kill people. Taylor Swift does.
Yeah.
No, Taylor Swift doesn't kill people. Guns do. I don't know. How does it work?
Lots of good albums out this week. We got The National. We got Death From Above, 1979. Boom. We got a new Always album out. Lots of good stuff.
Got some choices to
I'm
make.
Listening to all of it, but I think the one most worthy of discussion is Sleep Well Beast by The National. Let's do it.
Oh my goodness.
It's getting cold. I want to get my sweater on, my cup of tea, sit inside when it's raining, get depressed about middle-aged stuff, man. It's time for The National.
Nice.
Are you a big fan of The National?
I like The National. Yeah. I don't know them probably nearly as well as you do, but I do like that.
I was carried through Ohio in a swarm of
unblinking stare. You have an unblinking stare.
It's going to be great. It's going to be great. We're going to talk Sleep Well Beast along with Look What You Made Me Do by Taylor Swift.
It's a one-two
panch. Depression panch? And then the panch.
I didn't say panch.
The one-two panch. Thanks for picking up on that, Jones. The one-two panch of depression and hatred. So, yeah, looking forward to that next week.
Mm-hmm. I'm ready.
All right. You should listen to that Always album, too. We should talk about that.
Okay. I will put it in my,
it's real short.
My diet for next week. And then,
it's real short. A little bit of sunlight to brighten up everything else.
And people could do a little mini review.
Yeah.
Wait there.
I think that's a pretty good idea. All right. So next week is The National and T-Swizz. Ladies, thank you for being on the show. It was great to have you on here.
Yeah, you know, I normally leave angrier.
Yeah, I'm surprised.
Then I come in.
Yeah.
But that's how that goes.
Yeah.
Not as angry as you have been in the past.
Though. No, sometimes I get real heated.
Yeah.
I calmed it down this time.
Yeah.
Second.
That'll do it for this week. Check us out on the web. Do your duty to your podcast. Send us some love. We love you back. That's it. Play that outro music. Far away from